Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, Father God, we were hearing earlier about the veil being removed through Christ, and we pray that that would be our experience, that you might open our eyes, stir our hearts, speak to us afresh, that we might walk aright with you. Amen. Well, we used to play a game at Crusaders whereby we would start this end of the room and then work our way to the other end of the room. There's a direction to take, a route to navigate through, obstacles to avoid, and a bit of a maze, really, just like life. But they are blindfolded. Blindfolded, okay? They cannot see, so they have to listen carefully. Listen carefully. Don't listen carefully, you'll end up in trouble. And that is how it is to live by faith. You cannot see, you have to listen. Abraham was a man of faith. He could not see, so he had to listen to God's direction. Well, we've been looking at people that Jesus has met. And there are a number of more we could look at in the New Testament, but let's broaden it to the Old Testament. And after all, I hope you realise this, that these are people that Jesus met as well. So we're going to think about Abraham. It's a good place to start. And the first occurrence of everything in the Bible has extra significance. So in Abraham, we see in full technicolor what it is to live the life of faith. He's described as the man of faith. He's commended as the man of faith. And he is an example to us, men and women, as we live the life of faith. All of us who follow in faith are described as his children. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And elsewhere it says, he is the father of us all. So let us this morning think about faith, the man of faith, and how to live the life of faith. So we have three lessons, really. We come by faith to the Lord, we live by faith, and we depart to heaven by faith. So we have saving faith, growing faith, and departing faith. Well, we first meet Abraham, not in Genesis 12, but just a little bit further back in 11, towards the end of chapter 11. And Abraham's family are the seventh generation from Noah's son Shem. Terah is the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Sarah is Abraham's wife. And this large and wealthy family were born and brought up in Ur of the Chaldees, southern Iraq today. And so all of us, we need to study the life of Abraham, how the Lord called him, how he saved him, how he grew godliness in him, and how God proved faithful to him in everything. Abraham lived by faith, so it's really important that we study Abraham. The first thing is, leave and go to where I tell you. So we start in faith. At the beginning of chapter 12, we just had that read, God called Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Well, if you go back up a few verses to verse 31, it says Terah had already taken his son Abraham from towards Canaan. And Moses, when he's compiling this, is using the protocols of the day, the conventions of the day, and giving credit to Terah to say that he took Abraham. But if you read the parallel passage in Acts chapter 7, we can see the bit more clarity on this. It says, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. These are his words. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So the call of Abraham while he was still there in Ur of the Chaldees. So Abraham, he heard the call, he heeded the call, he went, he obeyed. So if you look on your bulletin, if you feel inclined, there's a little, you know, you can summarize the sermon there, and it talks about traffic lights. Okay, so as we go through, we have three traffic lights. So the first traffic light is green. It's the go sign, the green traffic light, the go light. And that's the specific call that God has upon your life, to go. Well, Abraham was told to go, to leave his land and go. And just as God put his finger on that man's life and told him to leave and go, so he puts his finger on our lives as well today. So will you hear and respond and leave your old life, if you haven't already, your old ways, your own ways, and follow Jesus? You see, to follow Christ, we must leave our old life behind. Christ's call on your life is to forsake those ways, those old ways, my ways, and change direction and follow him. Abraham obeyed. When he was told to go, he heard the voice and he did it. Abraham left as the Lord had told him, verse 4. So why couldn't he just stay where he was and honour God where he was and be useful to God where he was? Because they were living as idolaters. If you turn to Joshua 24, don't do that, but if you were to, it says these words. Joshua said to the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods." They worshipped the sun and the moon and Astarte and Molech and etc., other gods. Well, you might say, well, we don't worship those gods. We don't have those gods here today in England. Well, we don't have the gods of the same name, but we still have idols. So what are the modern day idols? Is it me and my life and my way? That's an idol. Is it too that face in the mirror? Is it the fashion idol? Is it the stubborn independent spirit? That's an idol. What is it that you idolize? You know. I hope you know. The only way to stop following idols is to leave. You cannot remain in the same place. You must sever that connection in your heart with the things that you idolize. Looking to an idol instead of the one true God who made you is sin. And that's very serious. You must leave your sin behind. It's difficult for you to do that because these idols have a strong voice as well. So there's other voices that can come in and persuade you to stay where you are. So when you're working your way through life, working your way up the room through all the obstacles and difficulties, there's more than one voice and they're conflicting. The other voice is saying, no, go this way, go that way. This way is better. But if you want to honour God with your life, then you have to leave those other things, those other voices, and have courage, turn away from them. Because if you don't do that, nothing else will happen. It's only in turning away from sin that you'll ever be able to enter the kingdom of God. So Abraham was told to leave his idols, and he did. Abraham left as the Lord told him to. And so because Abraham severed the ties in his heart with those idols, and we see pictorially that he actually left that place and moved away, God accepted him. And that's what repentance is. Abraham wasn't perfect, but God called him, and then God changed him and gave him that perfection so that he could remain in God's presence. And that's possible due to Christ on the cross. So when we think of Christ those 2,000 years ago, actually the work of Christ on the cross to take away the guilt of people is for those beforehand and those afterwards. It covers all time. So the effect of the cross is for all peoples, not just around the world, but through time, beforehand. Hebrews says this, "Jesus, our priest, having offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." So how was Abraham made right with God? Through the work of Christ on the cross. Same with other people in the Old Testament. Same with anyone today. All the way through time, there's one way. Christ's death on the cross. Sufficient for all who believe. So Abraham took God at his word. It said Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. In other words, God gave him godliness and gave him eternal life. And that is the key to the kingdom. And so in this passage in Genesis 12, it's the first time we get the word faith. So it's really important to think, well, what's the context of that? I'll take notice of this. So we see Abraham, the man of faith, and the first introduction of the word is in Genesis 12. God's dealings with Abraham were showing us that salvation is by faith alone. He believed and God gave him righteousness. And that's what we all need if we're going to be heaven bound. Later on in the Bible, it says the same thing. And of course, all the way through the Bible, it says the same thing. The righteous will live by faith. Perhaps one of the key verses in the whole Bible. It summarizes it so well, Habakkuk 2:4. So if you simply come as a child and trust him, children are better at this than we are, just trust him, then he will give you what you need for heaven. You will be saved. You will live. Abraham left as the Lord had told him. He listened to that voice and he obeyed. It wouldn't have been easy because there'll be people around him, all the people growing up with him, and they would have said, Abraham, why are you going? Abraham, where are you going? I don't know, he says. What? How is it that you're leaving and taking all your family with you and you don't know where you're going? Same with Noah when he was building the ark in the middle of dry land. Noah, are you mad? What are you doing building this ark? Where's the water? What's it all about? Where's the problem? I'm building it because he said so. He doesn't look and see logically from his own mind. He listens to the voice that told him to do it. And that is what faith is. Both of those couldn't see clearly. They could listen clearly. They could hear clearly. So you might say at this point, well, I don't hear a voice. The truth is you hear many voices. The voice of the world. The voice that comes from your own heart and mind and will. The voice of others. The Satan's powerful prompt that can smother the voice of conscience as well. But conscience isn't God's word. Conscience reminds us that we're moral beings and shows our failure, but it's not the same as the word of God. Here is the word of God. This is where we hear God's voice. This is the place to start. So if you're not hearing God's voice, read God's word. And then when you meet the word of God, he puts his word in your heart. So you will know God's voice. And then you will walk well. And you won't stumble and fall and get lost in the difficulties of life. That's the way to hear God's voice. To read it, to hear it preached, and to obey it. We heard earlier, didn't we? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he's going. You don't have to know where you're going. If he tells you to go somewhere, you just follow what he says. Like that game we were talking about. And notice that his obedience produced action. He obeyed. He didn't obey and stay still. He obeyed and went. And if you're not going, you're not obeying. They go together. You see, I can act because what I'm doing is not based on my reasoning. It's based on his command and his power and who he is. He knows how he's going to do it, and I'm trusting him to do it. I will put my faith in him. I will trust my life to him. So God has spoken, and that first step of obedience is the big step. And that's the step of faith. It's a very profound step. And Christ is now calling all people to the obedience that comes from faith. Somebody said one step forward in obedience is worth years of studying about it. Obedience brings us to God. If we're obedient to Christ, we will be brought to God. And it allows me to see him who is invisible. And that's a wonderful thing. And when Abraham obeyed, he heard God say, "Don't be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your very great reward." You see, the great thing about Abraham is that he was a weak man and failed, just like you and I. So he can show us what living the life of faith really looks like. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. In other words, he's the powerful one. Therefore, walk before me and be blameless. So by faith, we can live that life that pleases God. And by faith, it's the same really as saying, I want Christ in me. And then I will have power to live and to walk well in a way that pleases God. So that's the first green traffic light. Go. Don't stay where you are. Like Abraham, obey and go. The next one is to live the life of faith. And that's a call to trust and to wait. Then the word of the Lord came to him. A son coming from your own body will be your heir. Genesis 15. So again, God spoke. Abraham had to believe and wait. If he did that, he would see the promise fulfilled. So obviously here we have the amber light, don't we? The wait light. Okay? It's wait. Don't jump the lights. Don't be impatient. Don't be an amber gambler. Wait. The time will come. Do you want everything straight away? There's no Amazon Prime in the Christian life. I'm sorry. You have to wait a bit longer. And it could be a long time. There's no instant ready meals. God has his purposes in causing us to wait. And while we are waiting, he is working in us. That's the thing. If we had everything instantly, we would learn nothing. But while we're waiting, he's working. So to wait on the Lord is a demonstration of faith. He's on the throne. He's in control. He's in charge of all things. He knows best. And he knows what is best for me. And I know that in my experience. And I'm so glad the Lord helps me not to rush into my foolish ways and follow the ways that would end up messing things up, as has happened many times. Thank you, Lord, for overruling me and my ways. I often want to hurry things along a bit. And I remember years ago when I was working at Rover, the departments combined with Rover and Load Lane, Land Rover as it was then. And so I was sent across from Longbridge to another office to do similar work at Load Lane. But my job was to combine the departments and to improve the practices and to try and get things synchronized between the two. And I went into this office and there's only one desk left, and that was in the middle. So everyone else had their desks around the wall and I was in the middle. And it was a hostile environment and people didn't want to change the ways. They didn't want to improve things or change things. And I didn't like it. It wasn't very nice. Lord, I don't want to be here. Maybe you've had that experience, different people, different situations, you don't want to be there. And that's how it can be. And the number of times in my life I didn't want to wait and I wanted to force a move. But it was God's plan for me to stay there. Do you ever feel like pulling the emergency cord and you just want to stop and get off and you don't want to carry on with this? It's too difficult. Well, don't pray, get me out of here prayers. His grace is sufficient and he's teaching you things while you wait. You're tempted to take matters into your own hands very often. Well, Moses had to speak to the people about this. He said, don't be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring on you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Stand firm. Tempted to take matters into your own hands rather than what God wants and his timing and his way? Well, Abraham did wobble in this, didn't he, in his faith? And he followed Sarah's suggestion to have a son with her maid Hagar. And why not? That's what everybody did. Abraham believed that God would give him a son from his own body, but by who? Why did it have to be Sarah? If Sarah was childless, maybe another. Why not? See how the reasoning goes? And actually, the family arrangements in Genesis, there's been some research into this, and one article talks about marriage amongst the early Babylonians and Hebrews. And this author, Macmillan, refers to the Code of Hammurabi, who says, there is one legal wife, but if she remains childless, she can obtain the desired offspring by giving her own maid for that purpose. That's the custom of the day. So that's what Abraham did. He thought, well, it's going to come from my body, but That's fine. So Ishmael was born. Abraham's legal son and heir, even if a son is later to be born to his wife, as happened with Isaac. But then the Lord intervened. Notice the timing of this. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Abraham trusted. Sarah laughed, but Abraham trusted. And God had to say, no, Ishmael will not be the heir. This is your one and only son who will have the inheritance. So, a lesson to be learned. God's promises will be fulfilled in God's way, in God's time. Ishmael was born through disbelief. That's man's attempt to make a way. Ishmael is a figure of the Lord. Man's attempt to try and get the blessing of God by doing things his way. Doesn't work. Isaac is the one who is promised, and he's a picture of Christ. And it's through Christ that we receive the blessing of God, his favour, no one else. So that's why Christ is so important. And so often people say, I believe in God. Stop people in the street, I believe in God. That's not the issue. It's not the issue at all. The issue is whether you follow Christ. Follow Christ, you will find God. Don't just say, I believe in God. It means very little, really, if you don't follow Christ. So how about you? Some of you cannot see the way forward very clearly. It's too difficult, too complicated, too many uncertainties, too many obstacles. Well, that's good, because then you can start listening. You know, if you have these on, you have to listen, because you can't see clearly where you're going. And that's how life is. But God does speak. He has spoken and he does speak. So listen carefully and we will not stumble and fall. It says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful. He considered him faithful who had made the promise. We sing, don't we? I'm trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee. So not in my own reasoning or my own mind, but trusting in him. It's not blindfold and silence, by the way. It's blindfold and listening to God's word. Hearing, trusting, and waiting on Christ's word. Well, lastly, the third traffic light is the test. The life of faith is a life of obedience. And if you profess to be a Christian, then he will test you. He will test your faith to see what sort of faith you have. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, God is speaking. Is Abraham listening? Here I am, he said. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Abraham has the eyes of faith. He's up early in the morning and he's off to get ready and do exactly what the Lord says. Now, I'm not sure this exactly fits with the red traffic light, but the idea of the red traffic light is it's I have to stop and give way to someone else. So it's not me. I have to stop. I have to give his way precedent. Maybe you can remember red being the blood of Isaac. I don't know. But that's the red traffic light, okay, of the three. Well, this is abhorrent to Abraham. Go and kill your son. Abraham is told to take his son. If it's for a sacrifice, let's take some cattle. Let's take a donkey. No, it must be your son. What about a steward in the house or a servant? No, it must be your son. Well, what about Ishmael? No, it must be Isaac. I've lost Ishmael. Am I going to lose Isaac now as well? It must be Isaac. I love Isaac. He's my own soul. He's my long-awaited son, the one that was promised. A love son. And in Hebrew, it's very emphatic, this. It has to be Isaac. It's a real test, isn't it? I wonder what is most precious to you. What do you most cherish? Is it somebody in the family? Something? some person, your own life. To follow Christ, you have to be willing to give it up. You can't serve two masters. Either have what you cherish, or you have Christ. Any one of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Well, reading missionary magazines can be very challenging. As we were hearing earlier, I mean, Judy Cook, she's been in Thailand for years, serving others faithfully. She left her family behind, mum and dad and others. She's given up marriage. She's given up children. She doesn't have a home. She's just there in this orphanage. She's given up for the Lord. Well, we may not all have to head across the world to Thailand or some other place, but we have to be willing to do that. We can't hang on to something. We have to have the same willingness. How can Abraham do it? Well, he knows God. And he knows when God speaks, he can trust him. He knows who it is, who is speaking. And that will overcome all his own doubts and fears. And he can filter out those conflicting voices. He knows the one who is speaking to him. When you're in a room of people all talking at once, you can filter out voices, can't you? And what did Jesus say? He said, "My sheep hear my voice." They can filter out who it is who's speaking and then trust him. Well, for Abraham, that was a long, hard journey to take Isaac and have that deliberate killing ahead of him. And life is a long, hard journey, a long battle. And the biggest battle is with my own will. A will so fixated towards my own preservation that I'm not willing to give it up. And I'm determined to keep things my way. But if we are willing to subdue it to God's will, we will see his hand at work. You see, you can't see through this one at all. Sometimes you can a little bit, but everything becomes very distorted. You can make bad judgments because you're trying to peer through and see. You don't interpret things properly, and it can lead you into trouble. And you might say to yourself, well, there's two of these obstacles. How can I get past them? I don't see how it's going to work. We have to trust him. Abraham was asking all these questions. I don't understand. My only son, the one that you promised, how could God mean that? This is exactly what the pagans did. They killed their sons in sacrifice. How can the one true God ask me to do that? And Isaac? Well, Abraham didn't try and figure it out. He knew that he could figure it out. God can figure it out. He trusted that he could. And that's why it's so good to come as a child, because children don't try and figure it out. They just trust you. Dad can sort it, mum can sort it. That's it. That's all they need to know. So God didn't explain either. He didn't sit down and reason with him. He just said, "Obey me." And that's what God wants from all of us here. He's looking for obedience. And obedience, first time in the Bible, this passage. Take note. Faith and obedience go together. In that Open Doors World Watch List, it's really interesting. There's this story of Mojtaba from Iran. Perhaps you've read it. He was imprisoned in the notorious Evin prison with its hard regime and high walls and huge metal doors. And the Lord had to teach Mojtaba, that the only way that those inside the prison were going to hear the gospel is if God sent somebody into prison. So Jesus said, didn't he, if you're imprisoned, that's my plan, so that those inside can then hear. Well, he realized that was God's will for him, and he would now sacrifice his own wants all for Jesus. And this was his prayer. "I never prayed for God to release me from prison," Mojtaba says. "It doesn't matter what situation I'm in, I can work in God's kingdom wherever God places me. It doesn't matter if it's in prison or out of prison, because persecution will take the gospel to the places where nothing else can do it." Well, it's with the same obedience that Abraham rises early and gets things ready to sacrifice Isaac. And it's a lovely picture there of Isaac who carries the wood just as Jesus carried the wooden cross on his way to sacrifice. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. And you know, the Lord provided the alternative. Well, I was wondering what to sing at the end. It could have been trust and obey, couldn't it? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then it goes on to say, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. So when we listen to his word, he opens up the eyes of faith. We will do his good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. So, as we come to conclude, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how would he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So how much do you love God? More than anything else? He asked me that question often when I'm facing difficulties and I could go one way or the other. He's asking me, how much do I love him? It's a challenge. But Jesus is clear. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I'm to honour my mother and father. How much more am I to honour the God who made me and made you? We should trust him. Well, the great news is that Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and all the others are alive now. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. They are alive. His faith was genuine, and that means he stood the test through everything that life brought, and death was actually the entry into life eternal, the gateway into true life. So Abraham is alive now and will always be. So is Isaac, so Jacob, so Job, and all the true men and women of faith in the Old Testament. So Paul, Stephen, Mark, Luke, Mary, Dorcas, you, through the grave, will live, continue to live. Millions around the world who've lived by faith will go to the grave in faith with their sins cleared away and will continue to live with Christ. That's a wonderful thing. It says, by faith, Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So you this morning, me, all of us, will we live the life of faith? Trust him for everything. Trust Christ for everything. And say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a dedicated man, so should we be. Well, Abraham is called the friend of God, isn't he? And he's also described as faithful, the faithful Abraham. He did not withhold his best, but was willing to give it up. That is the life of faith. May we all learn from Abraham and live the life of faith. And if you do that, you will receive a rich welcome into heaven. May the Lord help us. Amen.